Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Toonami Therapy. It's May 14th of 2020. We're back on Thursday.
Yep.
I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
We're here to go through a bunch of anime. I feel like I need a better intro or of some kind. I don't know. We're here to put a little extra spice in your life, or we're here to lighten up the mood, or we're here to ramble a lot and go on tangents. All right, so we did not have a new episode of My Hero Academia this week because there was some sort of problem with them getting it ready in time. I assume coronavirus stuff. So we start out, so it was a rerun. I think we're getting a new one this week, although I haven't checked. So we're skipping over that, and we'll have Paranoia Agent Episode 3. So there's this woman, and she has a split personality, and then she gets attacked by a little slugger. Yeah, there's more to it, but that's kind of the basic plot of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one was very hard to follow along with. I didn't realize that was the plot until you just said so. I'm like, yeah, now it makes sense.
I didn't realize it through most of the episode either. It was only because I was glancing quickly at an episode synopsis thing, and it says she has a split personality, and I'm like, oh. Okay. That now things make sense. That was why I made that comment of like when I compared it to when Golem did it, the part where she's arguing with the split personality, like Golem in Lord of the Rings did.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, but that was the thing. Yeah. So yeah, it was it because yep, it really wasn't obvious until the end. Like, if I hadn't read that, I would have been confused up until maybe the end where she's actually doing the arguing with herself. I might have pieced it together then. Maybe you weren't supposed to know until then, or you weren't, exactly told. But, it was a kind of weird, it was just a weird episode. I mean, they've all been weird, but this one was especially weird.
Yeah, this one was the weirdest, definitely.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that the show does have more of an ongoing plot, because these three episodes have basically been, hey, we're going to pay attention to someone's life. They get attacked by Little Slugger. Moving on.
Yeah.
So I hope we do. I mean, I don't mind if we have that a bunch. I just want more of a plot intertwining them with the detectives trying to figure things out based on that.
Yeah, I like to have a little less hooly cooly and a little more Death Note.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to put it. But the thing about Fooly Cooly was whenever it was weird and stuff, it was usually at least doing it as a joke or something. So you're like, okay, I'm kind of confused, but it's kind of funny at least.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's just not that much to really say about this one here. I mean, at the end, it hints at some things with, someone on TV going, they have found who Little Slugger is. And then, of course, that's when someone turns off the TV, so we have to wait until next week. Yeah. Episode one, back, that was something that I noticed because, do you remember, you probably don't because it was, do you remember that TV series, it was on CBS called Jericho?
I've heard of it.
It was about this, it was about this city, this town, and suddenly something happens that makes it so that they, every, all like the, like communication stuffs go down and they can't communicate with anyone else. And, you know, it's like a big, like, sort of thriller mystery of trying to figure out what's going on. And now, see, here's the thing. I only watched one episode of it. It was like, I don't know, episode 4 or 5, because I heard it was like that. And I see this commercial and it's like, ooh, it looks like stuff is like getting revealed. Maybe I'll check this out. So then, you know, all the electronics are coming on and, you know, there's stuff. And at the end, it seems like there's going to be some big important message broadcast on TV to tell everyone what's going on. But then that gets cut off. And I was like, what? And then when I looked it up in like the next episode, nope, they didn't like, you know, reveal it then. I was like, well, never mind then. Not interested in the show if you're just going to, you know, play this sort of game. So hopefully, this series will actually follow up on that in the next episode. Even if it is, as I expected, will be, oh, sorry, we caught the wrong person. We were looking for Lil Slugger. It turns out we got Lil Wayne instead. Okay. All right, moving on. Black Clover episode 116. So, they're fighting against what's his name? Potry, who's a bad guy, but he's gotten super bad guy by being corrupted by something. So then Asta manages to pull him out of it with a combination of his anti-magic sword and a friendship speech that fixes that. So there's that. Zagred, the actual villain of this thing, it gets confronted by some of the other characters. And some of, remember how like the people got possessed by the elves? They're just kind of like, well, I guess we'll put our differences aside for now and fight the actual villain of this arc. And then in a post-credit sequence, a scene that was for some reason cut, Nero, that bird that's been following Asta Bunce, pops up to Finrol and actually talks to him. I don't know if you saw much of the bird. It actually had like a bigger role in the scene in the episodes between where we kind of stopped watching and started watching. It's just kind of been following Asta this whole series and showing a bunch of signs of intelligence.
Okay,
but then again, that was all in the post-credit sequence, so that was cut.
Yeah. Yeah, they did they eventually show that?
I don't know. Yeah, I remember because there's this big thing where there's this bit at the end of a post credits at the end of this Attack on Titan episode that wasn't there, and like they said, look, we're sorry, that's just how it was sent to us, and then they aired it at the beginning of the next episode. So good on them for that. I don't know if they'll do that for this. This is not anywhere near as important as that bit from Attack on Titan, because that was actually a really big deal. Whereas this is just like the sort of, hey, we're putting this in here. Don't worry, you'll understand. But it'll basically be explained in the next episode anyway. So. So it was okay, I guess. I could have done without what they. I'm just remembering what people said in Naruto, the talk no jutsu technique. You know, like the whole, no, we can just get along, we can understand each other and don't need to fight and blah, 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 blah. One of the best ways to defeat some enemies.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else to say on that?
No, I don't have as much to offer on Black Clover because I missed so much on it. So okay. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to.
I was just trying to explain things to like so that you, if you were confused, you would better understand what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
I just know there's bad guys and there's good guys. That's pretty much what I take away from it.
All right, so we got JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind, episode 25. So Trish gets a stand, which is named Spicy Lady. I will give you three guesses as to what the original name was. Okay, in case you it's Spice Girl, of course. Honestly, yeah. If there's anything that gave it away, it was the part where the stand attacks and screams wannabe. So, its power is that it can make stuff really like stretchy and elastic. That was it. So she's able to, you know, deal with the stand and get Giorno's hand to the others. They basically then manage to get away, but the Notorious B.I.G. / Notorious Chase is still going after them. So they end up managing to get away by cutting the plane in two, separating it from them, and then the stand power can turn their part of the plane into a parachute, essentially, so they can just get away. Meanwhile, Notorious Chase just plunges into the water where it just chases waves, except for when it mentions the occasional time it just goes after a bone and sinks it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a fun episode.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, I didn't like the fact that the stand couldn't be killed, but they found a pretty good way to work around that. So, and then there was that little part at the end about, I think it was the boss.
I'm starting to get really annoyed with all these after the credits sequences in anime, because sometimes they have them and sometimes they don't. So it's too easy to miss them.
Well, it's easy to look away and then, you know.
Yeah, or when you're if it's something you're watching online, you can just see, at least when you're watching it live, if you like are not paying attention during the credits, once you start hearing, oh wait, something's going on, you look and pay attention. But if you're watching it like, you know, on an online thing, you might just see, okay, credits, close window.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've really got to start, I feel like at this point you just got to click to the end of the credits and see if there's something there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a fun, enjoyable episode. I like the fact Trish got a stand so she can do something other than just standing around all the time. Is this the first Is this the first time we've actually had a female character be like the hero in a stand battle?
Yeah, probably. Well, unless Yukako counts.
But was she ever
one of her episodes?
Well, the first one was where she was the antagonist. The next one was where she wasn't. Honestly, she wasn't really involved in a stand battle at all in that one. That was the one with the sort of beauty parlor person. And then she didn't really do anything after that. So I don't think there was. I mean, I was initially going to say, is this the first time we've had a female character fight? But then I remembered, oh, no, there was Lisa. But I don't remember any female stand users ever actually getting a fight while being on the side of the good guys. So that's the first one. It only took four and a half seasons. Well, let me think. Because three and a half seasons, because they combined the first two into one season. So, we're doing that. So that was good. But really, it was just nice to have her actually play What's the phrase? Active role. An active role rather than just being there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that was JoJo. We got Naruto Shippuden, episode 295. let's see. Two people got married. That's what I remember of this episode.
yeah, I just remember, I remember that scene at the end where the bad guy is, like, getting all the villains, rounding up all the villains.
Well, the next episode is no longer filler, I think, so that's, I know something like that happened in the actual series, so that was just the leading to that, I suppose.
Okay. So, yeah, it's over, finally, that filler arc, and now hopefully the main stuff proves to be a little better.
Well, the last arc of Naruto, which I think we're in right now, wasn't really that great from what I remember, but it would be better than filler, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that, yeah, just nothing else to really, say. I mean, we could talk about, I'd suggest we could instead try to talk some about, Kishimoto. That was the author of Naruto. He did another manga series later on called Samurai 8, but it kind of got, but it wasn't very popular and it got canceled after, I think, 42 chapters. So, but you've never read it, so I can't really discuss it with you. It wasn't really that good, honestly. I'll be fair, it managed to pull off a decent enough ending, but it was obviously a rushed ending because it was like a lot of a bunch of series, the editorial just says, okay, you're not popular anymore, you're canceled, you got 5 chapters left, go at it. That happens to so many manga series early on in Weekly Shonen Jump. They're known for being very, you know, it's not like your series has to be a big popular thing right away, but if it's a failure, you don't really get much of a chance to turn it around. Now, to be fair, Samurai 8 was the name of it. It was Samurai 8, The Tale of Hachimaru. It did go on for 40 something chapters, I think. A bunch of the canceled stuff doesn't even get to 20 chapters. All right, there we go. So that's it for our Toonami stuff.
Yep.
Let's see. Do you want to talk about ReZero now, or?
Put that at the end.
Okay. All right, so we didn't see Shangri-La because we had so much stuff to watch this week. Kind of suggested we put it off. Plus, it better staggers things so we don't have 3 shows ending at once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we got Excel World Episode 3. So we get a bunch of exposition. A lot of exposition.
Yeah, a lot of the first 3 episodes have had that. And there is all this talk about this one person who knows her identity. And they're trying to figure out who that one person is. And obviously, you knew that one person would be the other person who showed up in the episode. So it was okay, we knew it was going to be her. And then the main character is on her bed with her trying to figure out if that's her. And somehow she doesn't notice that his he's like pushing stuff with his hand. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, for that, yeah, I was wondering about that also. But to be fair, it looked like she had her eyes closed for a bunch of it for some reason. And then later on, when he was doing stuff, he was doing it behind her head where she didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And at least on one point where she might have been looking, it he made it not necessarily looked at, because he says, like, the three of us, and then he's holding up three fingers, and then he's using those fingers to actually move around the stuff.
But oh, yeah, that is right.
So yeah. I could, like, buy the fact she didn't notice with those sort of circumstances, but yeah, and so we get, so that scene was kind of cheesy, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end, he is like, he doesn't find the brain burst program, so he's like, okay, she's not, Cyan Pyle or whatever it was, because that was the person who was after the other main character whose name I can't remember anyone's name.
Kuroyuki Hime.
Yeah, that's right, Kuroyuki Hime. Hey, that sounds like one, like a something that just comes from slamming random stuff together. It just, it's, you know, like when you hear the word anti-disestablishmentarianism. Like, I'm like, okay, Kuro, okay, Yuki, okay, Hime, just throw them all together. Kuro Yuki Hime. You know, I'm sure that's an actual Japanese name, but, you know, to me, it just sounds like that sort of thing. So he doesn't find it, but then he, like, says, but there's a backdoor program. And I'm just like, okay, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, I know what backdoor means, I think. It means, I believe it normally is used for when there's something in a program that allows someone to hack through it.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. You know, like, that's what someone would say. Someone leaves a backdoor when a programmer deliberately leaves in a security flaw in case they want to hack into the thing later. So, but I'm just like, okay, but what does that mean here? Is he saying that someone hacked into her thing before, or is he saying that it was, I don't know, it was just such a vague statement.
I that at least got me interested in, you know, like, seeing what happens next. So I thought that was a pretty good hook. So, yeah.
And I can't remember, why did Kuroyuki Hime think that other girl was the person who was after her? What was her, like, reason for that? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
I thought she said it, but I can't remember. Okay. So that was Excel World. I wasn't that big on the episode, honestly. I guess the exposition wasn't that bad, but all, like, the sort of awkward cheesiness of their conversation towards the end when he was, trying to look through her stuff, that was a little, I don't know, I just found that kind of dull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it, but yeah, it could have been better.
Okay, so now we move on to one of our new shows. All right, how, legitimate question, which order, because we're doing them at the same, I know we wanted to do Tanya and Overlord before Isekai Quartet, but do you have a preference as to which order we do them in?
No, whichever order you'd want to.
Okay. Well, let's see. I don't know. Don't really have a coin on me, so I'll just use random.org to figure it out. Okay. Actually, come to think of it, screw that. I'll just do them in the order that I watched them. Wait, which order did I watch them? I can't remember which one I saw first.
Go with Overlord first, then, because that's the one I saw first.
Okay, I think that was it, actually. All right, so we got Overlord. So this episode was honest. So he gets all the floor guardians together, and then there's a bunch of, honestly, most of the stuff with them is kind of is basically wacky hijinks, which I was not expecting as much comedy in this as there was.
Yeah. I really don't like that main female character. Like, I the way she just, like, throws herself at the main character, I just don't like her at all.
I didn't really mind her necessarily, although I do think the gag has worked better so far in Isekai Quartet. But, I mean, in Isekai Quartet, it's like they're exaggerating it even more, but we'll get to that. So, basically, they find out that they're in some totally different place, and, yeah, not really that much happened. It really was just kind of setting the stage and establishing them. But, I mean, I have some pretty... I did think a bunch of the comedy was kind of funny. I thought that it did a good job very quickly establishing all the characters and like, at least some personality traits for them. So I can, like, at least remember, some, like, those things now. Whereas, so I can better remember what the character's traits are. So, I thought this was actually, I thought this was pretty decent. I liked it more than the first.
Yeah, it was a pretty good episode.
Okay, so then we get, move on. Let's see. Was there anything else? Oh, I did want to say that I liked Ainz's voice. I really do like that. The voice he has. I think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got Saga of Tanya the Evil, episode 2. So basically, remember how I said the first episode was supposed to be like the action piece, and then you like move back and explain things in the second one? Yeah, that's exactly what they did. And basically some guy in Japan he fires someone, but that person gets angry and kills them. Then they meet the what they call Being X, who after they get into an argument with, just like Trant decides, well, okay, I'll like make you get because he says like the thing about people not having faith because, well, everyone has comfort and stuff, and then it just gets told, well, so what you're saying is that if you didn't have all these nice and comfort things, that wouldn't be a problem. and then gets basically reincarnated ish in this alternate world as this baby girl, you know, Tanya, who I guess is what we'll just call them because we never find out the name of the original person.
Yeah.
So they grow up, have super magic because this is a magic thing where it is, and joins the military because the goal is to try to, well, live, gets into this big battle thing and manages to come out of it with the goal of just trying to get injured and be considered a hero, so that they would just be let them go. But then their actions are considered so heroic that they like, you know, give them this medal and want them to do more stuff. So yeah, this was way better than the first episode.
Yeah, definitely this one. Was pretty good. I do wish though this was the first episode because I feel now like we've wasted one episode because I had no idea what was going on for the entire first episode that I was like didn't pay as much attention, and now I feel like, well, if they would have been in order, then I would have understood it more, but
yeah. Yeah, it's actually I really didn't enjoy this because I when going into it, I was worried that based on like kind of the setup that this was going to be some sort of like, I don't know, kind of annoyingly anti-religious show or something. But no, it really isn't like that at all. So I was relieved to see that. Also, I think, like I said, there were funny jokes in this. I think my favorite line was just like, "Did you not hear what the pigeon said?" That was good. Although when I was describing the summary and the premise of the show before, I was saying this stuff, except this sounds, because I read that the thing was that the Being X told Tanya, like, "Oh, you either need to die of old age or you need to believe in me in this alternate world." But here we only just got, she just got told, "Oh, well, just live as long as you can. You won't be part of the cycle of reincarnation in the future." I don't know. Maybe that's fleshed out more in later episodes.
Yeah.
So I don't, my summary, which when I tried to explain the show to you, was based on Wikipedia. And I mean, I know Wikipedia is almost always completely trustworthy, but it can make goofs every now and then. I don't know. Maybe it was based on the light novel. I looked at it and it did play a few things out a little differently. But let's see. Was there anything else I wanted to comment on? So, yes, here is something to note. So at the end, because I did watch like through the credits and there was a brief post credit scene, of course. And then it says, "This program is fiction. All persons, groups, places, laws, and names appearing in it have no relation to the real world." So it's complete and utter coincidence and no relation to the actual world that this country she's in is clearly supposed to be Germany circa World War I. Yeah. Just a complete coincidence. It has nothing, it has no relation to that, even though people use fatherland, even though when you see a map of like the world, it's obviously supposed to be Germany, even though, why do people say that when it's so clearly not true?
Yeah, I think it's just the cover their butt for getting sued, you know?
Maybe, but it just, like, so many series will, like, list that, but then that's it. So, So anyway, like I said, I actually found myself enjoying it a lot more than I was expecting to. I think if we had at least gotten some of this information in the first episode, and I even mentioned the first episode, okay, the point is to have a big action piece and stuff, but I'm thinking, but we had an action piece in this episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, not anything else to say. Oh, one thing. Did you notice when they, in the subway scene, did you notice that there was a Overlord poster?
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I remember that now.
That brings up questions about how these universes relate to each other in Isekai Quartet. Okay. Speaking of which, Isekai Quartet episodes 3 and 4. So let's see. So people, so Tanya and Ainz end up meeting and stuff, and actually both realize they're each from a different that both of them have the whole thing of being from Earth and getting transported to some alternate world. And I don't know, I just really liked that scene. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned not really liking Albedo in Overlord. Do you find her funnier here?
A little bit, yeah.
Like, I just like the part where she's just like talking about how she's worried that Tanya would try to like would try to jump Ainz because, like, she's saying, "Just look at him! How could any woman not resist that beauty?" So, we had that. We do kind of get Actually, I do appreciate the fact we kind of got an explanation for why everyone is just going along with it. That just the world is sort of affecting them in a way that they are doing it. So, you know, it's kind of like a vague explanation, but, you know, it's a comedy series. That's good enough.
Yeah.
The thing where, but then we also get Subaru and Kazuma, like, also doing that thing and realizing that they're both from, that they both have the whole, we're from Japan but got brought to this fantasy world. Mm-hmm. And that was also funny. Although there's a part where Kazuma gets all angry because he thinks Subaru's life is way better than his. Except, which is funny, but it's also a matter of, Kazuma, I think you actually do have the better life.
Yeah.
Because even if we count filler, you haven't died as many times as he has. Your deaths have not been as painful. You've gone through. You haven't gotten so as traumatized as he has, and honestly, not only is your life better, about half of your sufferings are self-inflicted anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, these were just. I mean, these weren't like these were funny, but also they were just fun. It was just fun to see the characters from different. Series interacting with each other with like things they might have in common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that scene where Darkness was carrying Kazuma and Rem was carrying Subaru as they were racing to get to school in time. That was a pretty humorous scene.
Yeah, I did. Actually, there was one thing that I really liked the part where after Kazuma gets all upset, and he's like, you know, talking about how he now considers Subaru an enemy, and he's just like, we both got reincarnated, like we both, like he says, like, we both died and got reincarnated. Why did I get the bad world? And Subaru said, hey, I didn't die before I got reincarnated. That might not be the exact line, but just the way it's done was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Although, unfortunately, for some reason, even though they had them in the first two episodes, the Funimation doesn't have the subtitles for the opening and closing themes for these episodes. Why have them and then get rid of them?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, they were fun. I enjoyed them. I am excited to see what the series goes, because right now it really has been introduction. It's just, okay, what kind of wacky fun can we have with this concept?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, that was basic. So that was the episode. You have anything else to say about any of these series?
No, not really. I like that Isekai Quartet couple of episodes, though, so I will say that.
Okay, so, I guess we can cut to our top threes.
What about ReZero?
I'm sorry! How did I forget ReZero? Yeah, it did seem like we had skipped. Thank you. This is a problem I would have completely forgotten if not for you. Okay. So, ReZero, episodes 24 and 25, the end. We're done with this season. Before we get into anything, though, you mentioned how, like, everyone thought he was, and even, like, the English subs confirmed his name is Beetlejuice, but then, like, the dub is saying Beetlejuice, and that's, like, the official name. So I was curious. So I went onto the Crunchyroll and I looked at, found, because there's a scene where his name gets said. So I, like, pulled up the different subtitles for that, scene. And so the English sub, yeah, it said Beetlejuice. But the Spanish and Portuguese subs correctly render it as with a P. But then the Italian and German subs render it with a B instead. I'm so confused about why they're having difficulty, because literally the symbol there in Japanese is the one for the P sound. It is not for the B sound. It's those two symbols look kind of similar, but they are distinctive. I understand there's a lot of times where it can be tricky to romanize things into English from Japanese, but in this case, there's not any other way to do it, really. So I don't know if they thought that it was like a typo or something, or how that came, but yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was confused, because I was like, that's the name everyone had given him for so long, and now, and, you know, for people like me who don't know anything about Japanese, you know, we just assumed they got it right, so...
Yeah, but it's just such a weird one because, like, here's an example. I do know this about something. So from Tanya the Evil, there's someone whose last name is Sue. Now, depending on what you're going with, it could be spelled, because some spell it out as S-I-O-U-X, you know, like the Indian tribe, whereas others just render it as S-U-E. So I would, so, but in that case, yeah, because those would be written the same way in Japanese. It's not really a case for Beetlejuice and Beetlejuice. So it would have made more sense if they had incorrectly rendered it as Beetlejuice, as in like the movie that Beetlejuice. Okay. So in this episode, they managed to, they managed to defeat, well, whatever name you would like to choose for him. Yeah, so Subaru and Julius managed to work together using some sort of shared sight thing that lets Julius see all the hidden hands. So he gets beaten, but then he tries to transfer himself into Subaru, but Subaru, like, ejects him by... just, you know, starting to announce, I can go back in time, which makes him go out for some reason. Then everyone manages to get away, although they do have to, you know, clear out people from, so that there's not, he has to get a bomb that someone planted out of the way. And then Beetlejuice shows up one more time, but then gets defeated again. Let's see. And then, he's like, oh, and then he like proclaims his big love for Amelia, who's just kind of like, well, that's nice. And that's the end of the season, except there's, did you see that? Like that scene that I told you about that was in the director's cut?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a brief, because it's not in the originally aired episode, it's not there. Well, I mean, it's not even in, like, you know, like, the DVD. But they put up this sort of ReZero director's cut thing, which basically is, like, 13-hour-long episodes that I think include some scenes that weren't in the original run of episodes. But, from what I understand, it mostly doesn't really matter, except for this one final after the credits scene. So yeah, I don't know if you wanted me to tell you what it was or.
What was it?
Oh well, basically, it's a thing. Subaru and Amelia are just like kind of in the carriage, and Subaru is kind of talking about some stuff, and then he's like thinking, oh yeah, I, you know, confessed my massive love to her, but there, things are weird because Rem said that to me. So he's like kind of like deciding, okay, I gotta explain. So he's saying, okay, Rem told me, blah, blah, blah. And then Amelia's like, Subaru, who's Rem? And then that's the end.
Oh no.
Cliffhanger. Yeah, I'm glad they didn't have that in the original episode. Because that would have been really annoying to have to, like, wait, you know, 3 years for resolution on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that was there was that. Obviously, that's going to be continued in season two. Most likely, I wonder if it was even originally supposed to be in that episode, or whether they just put it in to try to get people hyped up for the second season.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing anything about that before, so maybe they did add that more recently.
Well, I mean, the director's cut was only, like, that thing was put up, like, I think a month ago. So, prior to that, it wasn't there. You wouldn't have known that unless you read the light novel where it was included. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, as far as ending cliffhangers go, that was actually a pretty effective one. So, well, first, thoughts on these final two episodes?
I thought the whole love confession scene was very hard to watch, and I also thought, like, I remembered why I hated Amelia so much, because she's like one of these woe is me characters, you know, no one likes me because I'm a half elf, and she has to wallow in self pity for half the episode instead of just getting into the carriage so she can escape to safety. It's going to be hard to watch if Subaru and Amelia end up getting into a romantic relationship with each other. Like, I don't know how I'm going to take that. So,
well, I wouldn't necessarily like or dislike it. I mean, I usually try to keep myself sort of neutral on these sort of things. Not a big reason of that is, well, if you don't become a fan of a particular pairing, then you won't be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem is there's like the big confession, and you're just left wondering, and you're thinking, Subaru, why are you so in love with her?
Right. That's the biggest thing. It's like, what about her? I mean, especially the way she treated him. It just makes no sense that he is so madly in love with her. It just does not make any sense. So,
I mean, like, yeah, look, right. She's nice and she helped you out and she's attractive. Fine, but I can see how those would be factors to make you want to start a relationship. But just the degree to which he's like that is just very weird. Like, I feel like they're it just doesn't make sense based on the relatively short amount. Haven't they known each other for just a few days
in the universe? Really. Yeah.
So that's my thing. I mean, I get like gratitude. Okay, she helped you out, she saved your life, I get all that, but it just seems so, just the extent to which he's done that seems a little extreme. But then again, like, Rem totally fell for Subaru, and she's known him even for even less time.
Yeah.
In terms of overall plots, there wasn't really too much to write about. This was just kind of like, you know, okay, we're finishing up this plot, and then we'll move on. I guess we can talk about the show as a whole. So, on the whole, I enjoyed ReZero. I thought it was good. It has some definite flaws, but I can't remember any anime that we've watched on this thing other than It and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure that have made me, after watching the episodes, thinking, oh man, I really gotta see just what the next episode is, even if it's not in our schedule, and then I'm kind of skipping over and watching it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, obviously I'm a big fan of it because I got you to watch it. So, yeah. the same problems I saw with it in the first place are still there. The whole Amelia, just Amelia altogether, everything about her, I don't like. So, but other than her, it's a pretty strong series. And from what I hear, it gets really complicated in upcoming seasons. I don't know really all that much except for some stuff about Priscilla. That's the only character I know anything about. I know some spoilers about her, but
she's the one who has Aqua's voice, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the orange haired girl with the red dress.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know some spoilers about her, and just from that, I'm like, wow, this is going to get really complicated. So I'm like, she has such a huge backstory, and yet we only saw it for like two episodes. So, yeah. So I look forward to seeing what they've got to add to this, and hopefully we eventually find out more about Subaru's original wife, other than I had no family and no friends, and all I did was play video games, like the guy from Overlord.
Do we even know that about Subaru? Was that ever said? I mean, the fact he's in no rush to get back to his world indicates he doesn't really have, he probably doesn't, but has it actually said that?
No, the only thing that's been hinted at is that he plays a lot of video games because, you know, he's always acting like stuff's a video game.
Yeah.
Like the only details we know about his world are that he has a flip phone and that he has coins in his pocket, and one of those coins has a special edge of the coin to it. And that's pretty much it. Yeah,
I think honestly, if I was going to say the big weakness of ReZero, its strength is that it's fun and entertaining to watch, but there isn't really that much when you look at it that make the characters particularly interesting. We don't really know much about Subaru. We honestly don't really know that much about Amelia either. Like, what's her backstory? We don't know. We know so little about her also. Honestly,
the character we know the most about is Wilhelm.
I was going to say Rem got like the most. Like, we got her backstory. Oh, yeah. We got some character focus. She's the one who basically gets the most attention.
Yeah.
In terms of that, that's the character I know. I feel like I know the best. So it's a. But yeah, we did get some stuff from Wilhelm, and like Rem's backstory was actually relevant to things, whereas Wilhelm is just like, hey, I met this girl and I fell in love and we got married. You know, which you probably kind of could have assumed by the fact that I was trying to avenge my dead wife. That's like the thing with ReZero. It's a fun and entertaining show, but at the same time, it's kind of like potato chips. You know, you eat it and it's tasty and you like it, but it doesn't seem to really have that much deep to it, and it's also hard to have just one.
Yeah.
So I am excited for the one other thing I wanted to mention. I mean, I'm sure we're going to be getting some more on it later, but it is just a little, like, because it seems we've got nothing as to, well, why was Subaru brought to this world? Why does he have this power to, are you still here? Connection issues again. Let me see if I can get this fixed. Okay, we're back. We got fixed, kind of, maybe, but we might not necessarily have that much time. So I'll just say what I was trying to say quick. I don't feel like we've really gotten much information about why he's here, what brought him there, what gives him this power to said why he can't tell anyone. There's been hints that the witch had something to do with it, but then if the witch Satella is behind it, then like why? Because Subaru's here to stop we're killing like the cultists that were followers of her, or did she not actually care about those and they're going against her? Or I don't know. I just hope we get. I don't need like a full explanation, but I would like to have some indications about how this stuff works and why he's here.
Yeah, that is a good point. That if she's the one who put him in this world, well, that was a kind of dumb idea because all he's been doing is fighting against her. So, I never liked the whole thing about how he can't tell anyone that he can return by death. It feels to me forced, like it's a, you know, just a plot device to make sure that he can't, you know, get out of things easily. Because if he could do it, then that would turn the show into Isekai Quartet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That reminds me of, did you ever see the movie Edge of Tomorrow?
No.
It's about this guy who, it's like this, in which each time he dies, he resets to this particular point. But, well, he actually can tell people, which is good because he encounters someone who had that happen to them previously, although he has to keep explaining it each time he dies. It's actually a really good movie. So that's like the thing. Like, it's strongly implied the witch has something to do with it, but why? There's, like, maybe the point of it is to try, because the witch has some sort of secret plans for Amelia somehow. I mean, people do keep drawing the connection between the two. Like, maybe, I will give the series so much credit if this ends up being the explanation. What if the witch brought him over there specifically to protect Amelia, and basically put this, like, in this crazy level of devotion to her in his head to ensure that happened?
Well, that would be a fantastic. I mean, seems like the connection's doing better, so we can talk now. That would actually be such a and makes it that's like too good for this series, you know. Like, this series isn't smart enough for that, but maybe it is. Maybe that is it. But it feels to me like this series is like too dumb to come up with something that complicated. That it's just kind of like, oh, it's just that he's a teenage boy madly in love, and that's it. You know?
Yeah, it probably is like that. Although I'm reminded way later in the manga, Attack on Titan, there's this part where it's claimed, and we don't know if the character was telling the truth. They could have been lying, where this person says that essentially the reason Mikasa is so obsessed with Eren is because, due to convoluted things that this stuff, it's basically been like programmed into her, essentially. By this,
yeah, I've always wondered why Mikasa was so obsessed with him.
But like I said, we don't know. We have no idea if that's actually the case. The character who said it, like, there was a bunch of reasons to believe that they were not telling the truth. There, I mean, the series is manga is supposedly ending this year, so I guess we'll find out then. But I'm going to guess it'll be revealed they were making it up, but it did remind me of that.
By the way, where can you watch Attack on Titan? Funimation?
You mean the dub?
Yeah.
Let's see. I assume it's on Funimation. It's probably also on Adult Swim's site. Let me check both. Let's see. Sorry, just looking. Okay. So Adult Swim's website has all the episodes. Funimation's, it looks like, I'm trying to see which episodes, they have. Sorry, this will just take one minute to, finish figuring this out. But anyway, so I was saying that would have been interesting. I don't know if the series will do it. Like I said, it's an entertaining show, but it definitely has some problems. But it's entertaining enough that I am excited for the next season.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, Funimation's website has all of the episodes also.
Okay, I'll just have to try to figure out where I left off. I don't know, I might have to go all the way back to season 2 because I forget so much.
The episode we left off is the one where before the break. Before the mid-season hiatus.
Uh-huh.
So that would have been that. I'm not sure exactly what episode that is off hand, but yeah, I mean, if you look at like the list of episodes and go, okay, so where's the several month break there?
Okay.
Okay, I've found it. I figured it out. It would be it's episode 13 of the third season, or episode 50 overall. You might want although you probably want to watch the episode just before that, episode 49, because that kind of leads into it. So yeah, that would be where we left off. Essentially, are you interested in picking it up again sometime?
Yeah.
I mean, you've watched so much of it, you might as well watch the part of the show that's actually really good. And then drop it after the third season, because the manga just turns into nonsense afterwards. The end of the third season is legitimately a decent enough place to end it, because almost all the major plot points have been resolved. It's just like, okay, we know everything. It's like, okay, we got it. We know what's beyond the wall. We know where the Titans are from, how people can turn to it, all of this stuff. Now, what do we do with this information? And the answer is, well, first spend about half a year without any of the main characters. And then have Eren show up and basically have been rebooting into a different character entirely. But anyway, but that's a totally different thing. Okay, so now we've talked ReZero. I guess we can get to our top threes then.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, well, this was a bit of a tricky one because the truth is there's basically four shows that were very strong contenders, so the hard part is knowing which one to get rid of. I think I will go with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure for first, then... let's see, ReZero for second, and then it's between Overlord and Tanya. I think I will put it in for, it's a tricky one, but I think I'll just put it in a little for Overlord.
Yeah, first place for me would be Isekai Quartet.
I'm sorry, I forgot about Isekai Quartet for some reason when I was putting my list. I'm sorry, put Isekai, put Isekai Quartet in third place. I apologize. Sorry, keep going.
Okay, so Isekai Quartet would be first place, and then ReZero would be second place, and in third place, probably Excel World. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you said Isekai Quartet would be first. I'm like, oh, how did I forget about that? Of course that would be top three. Actually, swap... I'm sorry. That should be swapped so that I'm just going to redo that. JoJo, Isekai Quartet, ReZero. That's the order. For me. Thank you for mentioning, because that's how. Yes. Okay. Now my brain got all scrambled because we did them in a different order, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. All right. So that's that for all those things. We'll be, of course, picking up ReZero when the second season comes out. But that'll be for a few months yet, assuming they don't delay it again.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, that's it. Anything else to say? We've been babbling for a while.
Yep, that's about it.
All right, we'll see you next time.